Hello, this is Rich Potter, and welcome to the What's So Funny podcast. Hey, welcome to episode 4. I think I'm starting to get the hang of this finally. So, of course, I'm changing everything I'm doing. I just changed the software I'm using and the platform, and I'm moving away from the Anchor platform. That recently was made aware that when you publish on Anchor, they actually legally own the copyright to all your content. So I am moving away from that. So if you were listening to me on Anchor, you're going to have to find me on iTunes, or I'm still working on some of the other platforms. Like I said, I'm getting the hang of it. I have not gotten the hang of it. So anyway, some of you may have noticed, if you're listening to these podcasts as they come out, that this one is a couple days late. I had a severe attack of attention deficit in the last few days. Part of it was me and my navel gazing. Part of it was I had a couple of gigs come through at the last minute. And part of it I blame on Marvel Strike Force. That is the Marvel iPhone game. I'm sure it's on Androids and whatnot as well. But I have it on my iPhone, and then I take it off my iPhone, put it back on, take it off. And it's crack. It's just very, I find it very addictive, like crack for the crazy man, which is a nod to Cat Stevens. If you laughed at that, you're old. Anyway, this probably won't be the last late podcast. I am self-employed here, and my boss is an idiot, so who knows? We'll take it as it goes, and we're just going to have fun along the way, hopefully. So, my topic for today, the space race. Now, when I say the space race, it may sound like I'm talking about astronomy, and I thought I would have been too a few days ago, but I'm not. I've always been kind of fascinated by astronomy and science and stuff, not so much the numbers and figures and facts and categorizing and counting and stuff, but all the pretty pictures of the stars and the nebulae and galaxies and all that stuff. It kind of reminds me of an XKCD cartoon that pointed out that I don't really like science. I just want to look at his butt as it walks by. So Neil deGrasse Tyson in the Cosmos episode, he was talking about this space race, and he said it wasn't really about science and discovery and getting to the moon to explore. It was to flex our nuclear capacity against the Russians. They put up a satellite which showed us that they were able to deliver a payload anywhere on Earth. Of course, that meant they could deliver a nuclear bomb anywhere on Earth, and we were soiling our collective American shorts over this. And so we had to flex our might, flex our muscle, and get something up there onto the moon and bring it back just to show how technically superior we were, so we would have them worried about us. It was basically a massive, like, super-powered dick-swinging contest. So, I mean, you think about what rockets are shaped like. They're, of course, they're giant phalluses, and then there's what John F. Kennedy said, you know, we are going to do these other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. See, it's about showing who has the bigger, harder dick. So after World War II, the Germans had all the rocket technology. They knew how to deliver a conventional bomb pretty much anywhere within a few hundred miles of their bases. So they got to bomb London and France and blah, blah, blah. They just bombed everywhere. Boomy, boomy, boom. And that was the V-2 rocket. And after the war, to end the war, of course, we dropped the nuclear bombs on Japan. And then that was 1945. 1949, the Soviet Union, they exploded their first nuclear bomb, which was a great thing because it balanced the power. And so, you know, the power was in the hands of, you know, the two giants, the Soviet Union and the USA, and everything was really stable until 1953, when Joseph Stalin died. And once he died, though, we got into the International Geophysical Year, which was an international scientific project that like all these countries got together and said, hey, let's pool our resources and kind of figure stuff out. Now that Stalin's out of the picture, we can move science forward and like cooperate and make a better world. And even Nikita Khrushchev was on board, which is amazing because this was just about a year after he was screaming at us, you know, we will bury you, while banging his shoe on the desk. Or for the Russian speakers, that's Мы вас похороним, we will bury you. I hope you enjoy my pronunciation. I'm bad at Russian. I can barely read. I'm barely literate in English. So yeah, that was in 1956, Khrushchev wanted to bury the West. And then in 1957, he and Russia joined the International Geophysical Year and everyone's kumbaya moment, trying to get together and make science better. And then towards the end of 1958, oh no, I'm sorry, the beginning of 1958, Russia launches Sputnik, in Russian, Sputnik. 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 I really like it. It sounds like it's like the Earth is like spitting a satellite up into the atmosphere. Sputnik. And the atmosphere says yik. It's like it's a disgusting thing. So it's like Sputnik is a conversation between the Soviet Union and the air around the Earth, if you will. But I digress. So they send up their satellite, and then we go, oh crap, you know, we need to catch up. They have bombs and they can put them anywhere they want. So we said, how about we take this project we kind of scrapped a while ago called Explorer, and basically put a thing in a slingshot and try to fling that into the atmosphere, and it kind of worked. And then we had Project Vanguard. It was a different type of rocket satellite system. And then, you know, a couple more Sputniks went up, and then we sent up a thing called Ranger, and then we had a couple of Rangers, and there was another Sputnik, and Sputnik. It's just so much fun to say. We had Explorer, Vanguard, Ranger, bold names, intrepid names, American names, and they showing the valor of the American spirit. Now, the Russian word Sputnik, I looked it up. It means satellite. I really like the no-nonsense approach at Russian nomenclature of their satellites. If you want to know what to name your satellite in Russian, you name it what it is. Satellite. I can just imagine the conversations people had in the Soviet Union when talking about it. Just looking up in the sky, you know we have satellite up around Earth. What do we call it? Satellite. It good name. Here, meet my children, Malchik and Dievushka. Which is really funny. It's if you speak Russian, they're the words for boy and girl. But they sound like pretty names, don't you? I'd love to have a kid named Malchik and a boy named Malchik and a girl named Dievushka. They would sound like pretty names until you have visiting Russian dignitaries, and then they'll just be scratching their head. It would be a great joke to have. In fact, I want to have children just so that in that off chance that I run into a Russian, I can yell at the children and have the Russians look at me funny. I think it's worth it. So, and I want you to know that I do understand that a joke well explained is a joke worth forgetting. And don't ask me why my Russian impression sounds like a caveman. They're very fine people. Very fine people on both sides. So anyway, back to the swinging dicks. After World War II, we divided up all the Nazi scientists. The USA, we recruited conscripted about 1,600 of their best scientists to come work in the USA, while the remaining 2,200 or so were piled with their families into train cars at gunpoint in the middle of the night and shipped to the USSR. So really, it was not the Soviets versus the Americans in the space race. It was the German scientists versus the German scientists. Of course, it was the U.S. versus the USSR, but it's kind of like how Michael Jordan was not from Chicago or Washington, D.C., but both basketball teams claimed the Brooklyn kid is their own. And I can't believe I just made a sports reference that I think is actually relevant. Anyway, the space race. They sent up a satellite. We sent up a satellite. They sent a thing to crash on the moon. We sent a thing up to crash on the moon. They put a man in orbit. We put a man in orbit. And something happened in the USA, or rather, something didn't. Soviet infighting imploded the Soviet program. There were too many cooks and too many egos in the room. So they had too many designs, and they were having trouble picking one that was not going to explode somehow. So their project started. Their project imploded after their rockets exploded. And we went up to the moon with Neil and Buzz, Michael Collins sitting in the car idling, waiting for the other two to finish up their shopping. I always felt bad for Michael. I mean, it's like traveling 220,000 miles to get to the beach and then not getting to put your feet in the water. And so he's stuck there in the module orbiting around. And then eventually the bratty kids come back from the beach and get in the car and say, thanks for waiting. Here's a bag of rocks. And that's all he got. He got a bag of rocks. It's like that Charlie Brown episode where it's Halloween and all the other kids get candy and Charlie just gets a bag of rocks. Oh, what a terrible neighborhood that was. But anyway. So we went to the moon and then we looked back and saw the Earth as a fragile little pebble just floating there in a sea of nothing. We saw that we're all together on this small ball of rock. We saw that we're all one. That's what we saw. We did. America. We saw it. Nobody else did. It's ours. We're number one. Yeah! I guess what I'm getting at is we Americans, for at least one moment of time, were able to collectively look the USSR in the eye and say, hey, Russia, we have bigger dicks than you. And they just smiled and drove their tanks into Czechoslovakia. Well, that's the conclusion of the podcast for this week. Thanks for tuning in to What's So Funny. This is Rich Potter signing off. See you on Wednesday.